This is Neil Curry. I'm going to read a poem from my new and selected poems. The book is entitled Other Rooms. This poem is called The Well. Though he leant right out over the rim, the water was too far down for him to see. Time, you realize, someone remarked inside his head, is only the rate at which the past decays. And so he let slip slowly through his fingers the one or two choice memories he chanced to have about him, then stood listening attentively for their depleted echo. This next poem is called The Blessed Fool and comes from a collection called The Road to the Gunpowder House, published in 2003. The Blessed Fool. Of the generation of the third son he is. One of those whom we find it all too easy to disparage, while we still have the one with the brains and his brother with the muscles to see us through when trouble comes. But it isn't only in fables that these two have unloosed such a frenzy through their failures that the heresy of the fool was all we had to turn to. His modest and yet inviolable quiet of the spirit. It may then be only wise with the old ceremonies drifting into atrophy, to reinvent the great feast day of all fools, to set it aside as a time for the piling of irrational gifts on the doorsteps of strangers, as a day for the veneration of doodlers and dreamers. And when evening comes, one might perhaps invite the fool himself to dance for us with steps and gestures of an awkward tenderness, his understanding of sorrow. This poem is called Woman Standing in a Doorway and comes from an earlier collection called The Road to the Gunpowder House. She's been having a dream, not a nice dream, and she's come out into the garden and she's still not quite awake. There are two things here. Ducks and drakes is the game we play in England when you skim flat stones across water. And the flower we pronounce dahlia, not dahlia, is the sacred flower of the Aztecs. Woman standing in a doorway. Dreams had been playing at ducks and drakes with her half the night, skittering her in and out of shallow sleep, until at last she'd given in and come downstairs, leant back against the doorway, propped one foot up behind her, settled her shoulders and folded her arms. Not a pose Vermeer would have favoured, more of a Murillo. Not that it mattered. Not when the entire garden looked to have recomposed itself in the time it had taken her to unlatch the door. Moon bleached, it was so still, so quiet and so new. What had been weeds were wild flowers flowering wildly among the scented pomp of bloom and trimmed box. An unlooked-for grace it was she felt to be there at all, and by herself, able to just stand and look at this thing or at that. The sun rising, a billhook left out overnight in the wet grass, the blood and rust of dahlias by the path, a moment to treasure, nothing unusual, nothing. Hadn't she heard somewhere, though, the first dahlias had come from Mexico, that they'd been Aztec flowers? Those painted priests, frightful in their feathers, had her held down and were reaching for the billhook when the peacock morning screamed out before her, and she was on her feet, brushing something off her skirt. A sunlight ruffled her hair, and from the kitchen came the smell of toast and the sound of coffee being made. This poem is called Galapagos and comes from a very early collection called Ships in Bottles. It's about Charles Darwin on the Beagle with Captain Fitzroy when they sailed off down to the Galapagos Islands. Galapagos. With Fitzroy's 22 chronometers ticking on their shelves, Darwin, sick again, killed time rereading Lyell's Geology, or Paradise Lost, his favourite poem. On deck, the crew were plump and happy now. Roast armadillo and ostrich dumplings had brought them round Cape Horn, and the Beagle, under full sail, was tacking for the line. But charting that long sheep's jawbone of a coast could not assuage the zealot in Fitzroy. To substantiate the flood, evidence for Genesis, that was what he wanted. When they landed, antediluvium was at every turn, but nowhere Eden. Not in such heat, not with such contortions of cinder and lava, and not with such black imps of hell as the iguanas, crawling and slithering about those blighted encantadas, those enchanted islands, where the chief sound of life was a hiss from the snakes, and from the giant tortoises, the indomitable Galapagos themselves, as they lurched and lumbered their way inland, following their ancient paths to water. Yet, in all this new weird, it was the beaks of brown finches that dismasted Fitzroy and sent him on his solitary way to slash a red equator round his throat.